Okay, tonight is Monday night, February the 18th, or Yud Gimel Adar Aleph. This is the Gemara share, we're up to Sukkah Daf Chaf Hei Amid Aleph.
Okay, Rabotai, we're on Daf Chaf Hei Amid Aleph. We started the sugya last week about Isaac B'mitzvah Patner Min HaMitzvah, and this particular sugya will resume yet for another Amud and a half. We are four lines from the bottom. Thus far, the Gemara had claimed that the halacha of Isaac B'mitzvah Patner Min HaMitzvah is derived from Kriya Shema, based on the fact that the Torah says, B'shivtecha b'veisecha uvelechtecha v'aderech. So the Gemara darshins, B'sheves ditcha. When are you obligated to read? When you're sitting around for your own thing. Uvelechtecha ditcha. When you're going for your own activity. But if you're going l'dvar mitzvah for HaKadosh Baruch Hu, under those circumstances you are not obligated to recite Shema. And our Mishnah locates it in relationship to the mitzvah of Sukkah, and we saw the machloikis last week between Rashi, the Ran, and Bali HaTosfos as to when Isaac B'mitzvah Patner Min HaMitzvah applies, Rashi being the most liberal, that once you begin a mitzvah, even if you are not actually being osek in the mitzvah at that particular minute, as long as you started a mitzvah until it's completely discharged, you are exempt from all other mitzvahs. The Ran and Tosfos taking much stricter positions. So now the Gemara is going to challenge our source and claim that the origin of the halacha of Isaac B'mitzvah, Patner Min HaMitzvah, is derived elsewhere. Ask the Gemara. The ha'osek b'mitzvah, Patner Min HaMitzvah, mehacha nafka. You mean to tell me that we learn the halacha of Isaac B'mitzvah, Patner Min HaMitzvah from here, from the source quoted, namely in relationship to Kriya Shema? Mehasam nafka. We learned it from there, somewhere else. The Sanya, we learned in a braisa. Pasuk says in Parshas Bahaloscha, Vayehi anashim asher hayu tmeim lenefesh adam. After HaKadosh Baruch Hu told Am Yisrael that they are going to bring a Korban Pesach in the Midbar, this is approaching the first anniversary of Yetzias Mitzrayim, so a couple of people come over to Moshe Rabbeinu and say, Loma nizora ila asol ha-pesach b'mo'ado. Why should we be denied the privilege of offering the Korban Pesach in its proper time? The Torah doesn't identify who these people were. All they said was, Anachnu tmeim lenefesh adam. That's all they said. We're tamei. But we don't know exactly who they are. And the Gemara is going to quote three opinions. Osam anashim mihayu. Who were these people who now are speaking to Moshe? And Moshe speaks to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and provides the halacha pesach sheni. Who are these people? Opinion number one. Nosei arono shel Yosef hayu, divei Rav Yosi Haglili. These were the people who were assigned to task the responsibility of carrying Yosef's aron. It was taken from Mitzrayim and carried with them until they were buried in Shechem. And as long as they carried it, they were tamei meis. So therefore, they were precluded from engaging in the Korban Pesach. That's one opinion. Drop by. Okay. That's a different question. What happens if you're still tamei when comes Chodesh Iyar? Okay, so then that's it. You're exempt. Second opinion is, Rabbi Akiva Omer, no. Mishael ve'el tzofon hayu, shehayu oskin v'nada v'avir. These people were elites, Mishael and El Tzafan, which the Torah says in Parsha Shmini, were the ones who had taken out the remains of Nadav and Avihu, who died on Rosh Chodesh Nisan of the opening of the Mishkan, on the day the Mishkan was supposed to open up, Rosh Chodesh Nisan, 15 days short of the first anniversary of Yetzias Mitzrayim, and they were Tamei. So therefore they came to Moshe Rabbeinu and said, why should we be denied this privilege? Rabbi Yitzchak disagrees with both of them, and he says, "Im nos aaron arono shel Yosef hayu." If these were the people who carried the aron of Yosef, kvar hayu yicholun litaher. They could have anticipated that what? Pesach is about to come. So for a couple of days, what should they do? Not carry the aron. For after all, they weren't going any place. You know, they have been stationary since last Sivan. Since we had arrived at Har Sinai, nobody's moved. So there's no reason to carry Yosef's aron any longer. And they could have taken the necessary steps to be mitaher and be tahor in time for Erev Pesach. So why would they suddenly find themselves anachnu tmeim lenefesh adam? So too, im mishael ve'el tzafan hayu, hayu yicholun mitaher. Nadav and Avihu died on the first day of the month. So they could have gone ahead and been mitaher themselves before the 14th day of the month. So why suddenly do they arrive on Erev Pesach and discover, you know what, I'm coming. They could have prepared themselves. So it's not that someone under those circumstances would be in a situation where it is impossible for him to have been tahor in order to bring lahakriv korban pesach b'mo ado in its proper time. They could have. There was ample, adequate time in order to what? To be mitar yourselves. So why would they be the ones coming to Moshe Rabbeinu? Therefore, Rabbi Yitzchak says no. Ela oskin b'meis mitzvah hayu. They were osek b'meis mitzvah. Okay? Somebody died, and there was nobody to bury them. Okay, nobody to bury them. So they were metava. They were metava. And when did this person happen to die? He died on the seventh day of the month of Nisan. So now if you are metame yourself on the seventh day of the month of Nisan, so now, well, let's make it, yeah, the seventh day. So now you have to undergo the sprinkling of the paraduma by Yom HaShlishi Ubashiyom HaShvi Yitar. You sprinkled on the 10th day of the month of Nisan, then you sprinkled on the 14th day of the month of Nisan, and the problem is that even though they are going to be Shechol Shvi Shalem Erev Pesach, even though they are going to become Tohar at night, they're going to be Tohar at night, because the 7th day will expire with Shkia Sachama, Yont of night. By that time, it will already have been the 8th day. They will already have been tahar, because they will have jumped into the mikveh. They will have been sprinkled with the ashes on the 7th and the 14th. But nonetheless, the halacha is, ein shoichtin es ha-pesach. You are not permitted to shecht the korban pesach if the person is currently not in a state of tahara in order to qualify to eat the korban pesach. Even though by the time the mitzvah's achila will come, he will be completely tahar, nonetheless, dictating and determining whether you shecht a korban pesach or not is not whether he's qualified for zman achila, but whether he's qualified for zman shechita. And since the Zman Shechita, he still is not able to enter the Mikdash, because he's still in a state of Tumah, for this reason, he could not have performed the Avodah. He could not have done the Korban Pesach. And that's what the Pasuk emphasizes. Shene Emar, V'lo Yachlu La'asos HaPesach Bayom Hahu. They couldn't do the Pesach when? Erev Yontif. Bayom Hahu, that day they couldn't as yet bring the Korban Pesach, because it was Shvi'i of since they started the ritual of the Efer Hapara. Inference, Halamachar Yicholim Lasos. However, tomorrow they would be able to do it. Whereas in the case of Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Yossi Aglili, these people could have been prepared well in advance of Erev Yontif to make sure that they would have been Tahar. Because both of those episodes, the Arono Shel Yosef is a long time ago, the death of Nadav and Avia was Rosh Chodesh Nisan, so they had plenty of time to be mitired themselves, so what's the problem? For this reason, Rabbi Yitzchak says, it was a meis mitzvah, who perchance died on the seventh day of the month. They buried him. Now they have to start the tahara process, and they're tamei for 7 days. Bayam Ashlishi, Bayam Ashvi Yitzchak. Yeah.
Two questions. One is...
We'll take one.
Okay, yeah. Take one.
That's correct. So, you're right. But here there is an added chidush. That even though by tonight they would have been tahor, nonetheless, we can't do the shechita now. And nonetheless, so maybe the halacha would have been, Moshe Rabbeinu would have told them, no problem. Since you're going to be tahor tonight, slaughter the carbon, we'll have the carbon paper. Not that you can do it, because you're coming, but you're allowed to have a shechita. You're like shliach, exactly. Someone else will shechita it for you, you'll join the kabura, by tonight you'll be tahor, and you'll eat. Bitahara, carbon paper.
But they can't do a kabura because...
The problem is, since they are not tahor now, they cannot join a chavura. Exactly. That's the added chidush of arranging this case. You're 100% right, that if somebody had a meis mitzvah on the 9th, 10th, or 11th, they're still not going to be able to be in the tahara. But the chidush was, even if their tahara is going to come to an end, the night of the 15th, where theoretically they would be eligible to eat kachim at night, because somebody's tamei meis is not permitted to eat kachim, but now he would be gotten rid of it. Nonetheless, Moshe Rabbeinu says, even in such a state, I'm deferring you to Pesach Sheni. That's the added chiddush. But technically, you're right. Yeah.
Doesn't this extend those
Yes, of course. In fact, that's going to be one of our questions. This is a bad. This is a very unusual extension, an enormous leap. The Gemara will address it, but it's an enormous leap. It's not the case we're talking about at all. Exactly, it's a totally different case. We'll get to it in a few minutes. 100%, 100%. Yeah. So let's first understand. What's happening with this machloikis, Rabbi Akiva, Rabbi Yossi Aglili, what's happening here? So if you have a machloikis, particularly a machloikis about history, and not a machloikis about the halacha, you have to ask yourself, and the Gemara often does, what's it then gespired? Why couldn't he agree with him? What's the big deal with his explanation? Why couldn't Rabbi Akiva say, yeah, it was Aron Shel Yosef? Why couldn't Rabbi Yossi Aglili say it was Elitzafan and Uziel? So Tosis already suggests that the reason why Rabbi Yossi Aglili disagreed with Rabbi Akiva is because based on the fact that the Torah says that Vateitse Eish Vatochal Osam, that a fire leaped out of the ketoret and consumed them. Their bodies were burnt. So if their bodies were burnt, what was there left to bury? How would they be Isaac? How would they metame them? There was no body. What is metame? A mace. Kizayis min amace is metame. There was nothing left of them. So the reason why Rabbi Yossi Haglili does not want to agree with Rabbi Akiva is because he believes that Nadav and Avihu could not have generated Tumas Meis upon Elitzafan and Uziel based on the fact that their bodies didn't exist any longer. They were totally burnt. Yes.
So Moshe told them to go in and get their, go in and take the brethren out.
Right. Okay. So we're going to see they took their remnants of the garments. The way the Medrash explains it, it was miraculously that they burnt, but their garments were not burnt. And that's going to be part of the Isur. They became Tamei through Tumas Begadim. We know that the Torah often describes that you require kibbutz begadim because your garments become tamei. So a person who dies, who is wearing the garments that he's wearing, are tameim. So they became tamei not through tumas meis per se, but tumas begadim. We're going to get to it in a few seconds. We're going to get to it in a couple of seconds. Just give me 2 seconds. So that's number one. That's why he didn't agree with it. Why didn't Rabbi Akiva agree with Rabbi Yossi HaGalili? What's wrong with the fact that it was Arayne Shel Yosef? The answer is because from the time that Am Yisrael came to Har Sinai, as we said a minute ago, they were in a state of absolute rest. They never, ever moved until well after Pesach. In Parshas Bal Oischa, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will pick up the story at the end of Chodesh Nisan. In fact, the Torah says it's in the second month. It's in the Chodesh Iyar, when he's going to say, look, let's get moving. Lo'isim anachnu ala makom, Hashemar Hashem, let's get moving, Eretz Yisrael. So up until now, from the time that they came last Sivan, we are now up to the next Nisan, nobody's been moving, nobody's carrying the Aron HaShol Yosef. So when were they metame to the Aron HaShol Yosef? When were they metame to the Aron HaShol Yosef? Before Mamet Har Sinai, precisely. So there is a Gemara in Nazir, we will see it in the Daf Yomi shortly, where the Gemara talks about this type of case of a Nazir Keber Shelifne Hadibur, where somebody, another, is not permitted to be metame lemeis, but what happens if you have a meis before Mamet Har Sinai? What status does it have? So the Gemara comes to the following conclusion, that if a person died before Kabbalah Satorah, and nobody touched, and the only contact which you had, Nazir or anybody else, had with it was before, you remain absolutely tahar. Because what's mechadish the halacha of tumas meis? What's mechadish the halacha of tumas meis? The Torah. Without the Torah, there's no such thing as tumas meis. However, if the person died before Mamet Har Sinai, and you touched him after Mamet Har Sinai, then you're tameh. Because the Torah imposed its tumah not only on those who will die, according to this Gemara in Nazar and Daphne Dalin, but imposed its tumah on even people who had already previously died. Therefore, if these Nosei Aron HaShel Yosef had not carried the Aron of Yosef since they came to rest at Mamet Har Sinai, so their only contact with the Aron was prior to Mamet Har Sinai. Since Mamet Har Sinai, they never touched it, so they never became tamei. So that's why Rabbi Akiva disagrees with Rabbi Yossi HaGlili, because those who were carrying the Aron, based on this technical halacha, would not have been tamei lemeis, and therefore they wouldn't come running to Moshe Rabbeinu, lama nigaram ila haklivis haposach b'moado, they're not tamei. It's always interesting, I find this amusing, when Gemaras and Rishonim try to put in halachic details into the narratives of the Chumash. As if there's this discussion between Moshe Rabbeinu and we carried the Aron last month, it probably wasn't exactly that way it happened. But anyhow, that's what many Rishonim explain as to why he disagreed with them. He disagreed with
them.
What?
The necessity of the entire Chosen Tzvila.
Right.
What's it all about?
That's because you're going to be in, right, HaKadosh Baruch Hu now said that now that you're going to be present at Mamet Har Sinai, I want you to be in a state of Tahara.
But you already were Tahara. There was no good...
Okay, it's a good question. It's a good question. It's a good question. I'm not saying that.
So he was pointing better. They all underwent some type of tahara procedure before Mamet Har Sinai. Really
okay, but they didn't have too much. They didn't have a strafus paraduma, right? That didn't exist yet. Yeah.
Nobody asked about the
process
of Moshe. Took what? Moshe said, "Asma
Right. So Moshe should have been Tamei. That's a good question. That's a very good question. In fact, the Medrash always comments, Chacham Leiv Yikach Mitzvos. That when all of Am Yisrael were engaged in Bizas Mitzrayim, what was Moshe Rabbeinu doing? Taking Aron Yisrael Yosef. So he could have said, hey, it's me. It's a good point. That would have been an excellent argument. An excellent argument. Yes. So now, therefore, based on either of these considerations, Rav Yitzchak says this was not the case at all. What was the case? Where is a tumas a mace mitzvah? And let's read Rashi, because Rashi illuminates certain critical points, especially as to when the korban, when the paraduma was created. We always know, because Rashi quotes it in several places, the perspective that the paraduma was burnt on the second day of the month of Nisan. And therefore it was available to anybody who became Tamei, Tumas Meis, to be Mitaher him. So let's take a look at Rashi. A couple of Rashis where Rashi makes some interesting points. Starting with the Rashi, Nosei Aron Shel Yosef, O Mishal Hayu Yichon Haloli Taher. Five, 6 lines from the top of the Rashi. Says Rashi, Sha'arei Be'echad B'Nisan Hukam HaMishkan. The first day of the month of Nisan, the Mishkan was put up. Visheni, lo, and on the second day of the month, Sarach Elazar Sapara. Shiyazu al Tmei Mei Shepahen, la asos pischein bitahara. Why did they burn the Paradum on the second day of the month of Nisan? Because they know that what's about to come, the Yantiv of Pesach. And you're going to have a couple of days in order to what? To be mitahir, those people, to qualify them. Kida Omar b'maseches Gittin, Shmona parshios nemru bayom shukam es hamishkan. 8 parshios were delivered from HaKadosh Baruch Hu to Moshe Rabbeinu on the day the Mishkan was established. Upara aduma achas mehen. Ube'echad v'nisan hukam hamishkan. V'hu ches lemiluim. That was the 8th day. Vahi bayom hashmini. That was vahi bayom hashmini. The 8th day of the miluim. Oisai Hayom Natal Eser Atarot. That day, Am Yisrael garnered what? 10 crowns. Very nice. What else happened? Ubo, and on that day, Mesu Nodav and Aviv. Hilkach, Meirosh Chodesh Ve'ad.
Was the 8th day of Miluim? Is it the 7th day of Nisan or the 8th day?
No, first day of Nisan. Is Vahi Bayam Hashmini. That's when Korah, Moshe, Aaron, Ovanov, Zikman, let's dedicate the Mizbeach. Vibayom HaShemini is the 8th day of the Miluah, which means that was the day of Chanukah HaMizbeach, for Rosh Chodesh Nisan. Hilkach says, Rav Yitzchak now, Me Rosh Chodesh Ada Pesach Hayu Rechon L'Tahir. They could have had plenty of time to be Mitaher. The Parah Aduma was available as of the second day of the month, and these guys were Tamei yesterday or weeks ago or months ago because of Aron Shel Yosef. Vika'amakra v'lo yachlu. The pasuk says that what could they not do on Erev Pesach v'lo yachlu la'asot ha'pasach b'yoy ma'u. V'nosei Arono Shel Yosef nami kvar ofru aleim asorah chadashim v'yoser shelo nesu. 10 months have passed since they had the need or the necessity to what? To carry the Aron HaShem. Mishichanu behar chorev b'rosh chodesh Sivan. From the time they came to rest to a halt at Har Sinai. When was this? Rosh chodesh Sivan. Kiddich Siv, as it is written at the beginning of Perek Yutes of Shmos. Bayom hazeh ba'u midbar Sinai. V'lo nasu misham ad esrim bi'iyar shoshana haba. They did not travel, they did not pick themselves up until the month of Iyar, 20th day of the month of Iyar next year. V'chsiv, v'hi b'shana ha-shinis b'chadosh ha-sheni, b'esrim b'chodesh na'ale ha'anan, v'yis'u me'har Hashem. So therefore, there is no excuse in the world as to why those carrying the Aron Shel Yosef, or those who cleansed, who carried out Elisafan and Uziel, could not have gone ahead and what? And right? Now, all of this is predicated upon this opinion that they slaughtered the korban, that they burnt the paraduma on the second day of the month of Nisan. That's the most prevalent daya in the Medrash. But there are other opinions. And in fact, Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Yisrael Galili happened to hold that the paraduma was burnt on the 10th day of the month. Not on the second day of the month. Why did they have to wait until the 10th day of the month? Because there is a halacha in relationship to Sleita Sapara. It's based on a pasuk at the end of Parshas Tzav. HaKadosh Baruch Hu told Aaron and his sons to prepare for what? For the dedication in the Mishkan. Right? Dedication. Those were the Shiva Simei Amiluah. So the pasuk uses the following expression at the end of Parshas Tzav. Kasher Asa Lachem Bayoyim Az. What was Kasher Asa? What's the pasuk? Very exact pasuk. Kasher Asa
Siva Hashem Moshe Lachaper Lachos Lachaper Adonai. Everybody knows
this. Here it is. It's the end of Parshas Tzav, right before Vayivyei Hashemini. Here is the pasuk. It reads, Ka'asher aso bayom hazeh, just as this procedure you have done on this day, 7 days of preparation, tziva Hashem la'asot l'chaper aleichem. So l'chaper aleichem, says the Gemara, is shivat yonim kaidim yoyim akipurim mafrishin kohen gadol mibesai. A kohen gadol needs 7 days hafrasha, and la'asot is what? Is asiyat hapar. That the Soreg at Hapara needs 7 days Hafrasha preparation before he burns the pot. Don't ask me any questions why. I don't understand why. I can understand why you need 7 days to prepare for Avodah Shem HaKippur. What does Allah have to pass 7 days just to burn a lousy paraduma? I have no idea. I can't understand. But I tell you this. That's what the Gemara says. So if HaKadosh Baruch Hu shared the parsha of what? On the second day, now they need 7 days. That's through the night. So when is the first available day to what is on the 10th? So Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Yossi Aglili don't have to respond very easily to Rabbi Yitzchak's charge that what? That the Nosei Ha'aron and Elitzafer Ben Uziel had ample opportunity to be mitahir themselves. They didn't have ample opportunity. Why didn't they? Because the Paraduma was not available to them until the 10th day. And in fact, the Shagasai and others write that what exactly is the machloikis between Rabbi Yitzchak, who claims and adopts the position that the paro was burnt on the second day, versus Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Yossi, I believe it's burnt on the 10th. The question is this requirement of hafrasha of 7 days, is that a doraisa or the rabbana? The raisa or the rabbana? So if you believe it's a din da oraisa and it's ma'atek v'ikra din, so Rabbi Yosef Lid and Rabbi Akiva are 100% correct. They could not have been so raised to para until that particular point in time. Whereas Rabbi Yitzchak calls it a din da rabbanan, as it might appear in relationship to the paraduma, it seems to be only a din da rabbanan, and even Yom Kippur probably is also a din da rabbanan. Evidence is, what happens if the Kohen Gadol becomes Tamei and Yom Kippur? What happens? The first Mishnah, what do we do? What do you do? There's a Shgan. Now the Shgan, they were not Afrishin, Shivas, Yom, and Kohen Yom HaKippur. They didn't put him away, they didn't separate him from his family. So you see that Didi-Eved, you could walk into the Mikdash without 7 days. So it's probably a Din Rabbana. So therefore, Midor Raisa, they could have been Soyrif the Parah on the second day, and that's in effect what the Machloik is all about. The Tzlach comes up with another consideration, and he says that everybody could agree that what? That they burnt the Paraduma on the second day of the month, and still, Nosei Arono Shel Yosef and Elitzafan Ben Uziel might have been startled and not had time to recover and be the tire on time. Why? Because apparently the fact that they had to bring the Korban Pesach that year was somewhat of a surprise. How do I know it was somewhat of a surprise? How many other Korbanos Pesach were offered over the next 39 years? Zero. Why were there no Korbanos Pesach offered? Because it's a little difficult to explain. Yes, the typical explanation is because there were some people who didn't have a chance to circumcise themselves. And an Orel is not permitted to eat the Korban Pesach. The overwhelming majority of Klal Yisrael had already circumcised themselves in relation to the first Korban Pesach. That's the hash. But as I Zuckman. And in fact, not once during the Midbar did they bring the Korban Pesach. Not once. So what happened here? HaKadosh Baruch Hu suddenly came and said that what? Oh, this year we're bringing a Korban Pesach. I'm telling you, we're bringing a Korban Pesach this year. And they were somewhat shocked and surprised. So even if the Korban, even if the Paraduma was burnt on time, they were somehow taken aback by the fact that there is a Korban, because apparently Moshe Rabbeinu relayed this information rather late in the game that what that they're going to bring, that they're going to have to bring this Korban Pesach. And therefore you don't have to claim that Rabbi Yossi Aglili and Rabbi Akiva believe that the Paro was burnt on the 10th. Maybe it was burnt on the 2nd, but they were just startled. They just didn't expect it. After all, they didn't bring any other Korbanos Pesach through the entire year. In fact, it's one of the most startling things. How long Klal Yisrael ignored and abandoned Korban Pesach, right? Throughout the Midbar. And then we read the first day of Yom Tov, Pesach of Yoshiyahu. And then the second day of Pesach, we read Pesach of Yoshiyahu. And what does it say? Ki loy asu Pesach mimais Yehoshua. From Yehoshua until Yoshiyahu. Not one Korban Pesach was offered. Not one. It's shocking. Shocking. Very difficult to understand. Okay. Point number three. Concerning this halacha of Tumas Begadim, many believe that the halacha is exactly the way the Rambam formulates it in Korban Pesach Halach Perek Vav Halacha Beis. I know he's not here to write it down. Somebody else can write it down. Perek Vav Halacha Beis and Hilchos Korban Pesach. The Rambam writes like this. The only time that you are precluded from bringing Korban Pesach when you are Tameh, if it's the type of tumah shehanazir migaleach alav, then ein shochtin v'zorkin alav b'tumah. It's the type of tumah that if a nazir came in contact with such a tumah, what would he have to do? He'd have to shave all his hair, in effect terminate his nazirus, bring a korban, start all over again, and start the whole process over again. But it's called tiglachas the tumah. But not every form of tumah does the halacha demand that a nazir is nigaleach should he come in contact with it. However, says the Rambam, aval tumah she'ein hanazir nigaleach alav, shochtin v'zorkin alav, umutar le'echol le'achar tvilaso. But if it's the type of tumah for which a nazir, had he come in contact with that type of tumah, would not have had to shave his head, terminate his nazirus. So such a person is tameh, obviously, but he can immerse in the mikvah, and then what? And as soon as he becomes tar, at night, because all you need is what? Harav Shemesh, then at night he'll be able to eat the korban, and you're allowed to shecht it for him al yudei shliach. He can't come into the mikvah to shecht it himself, but you can have a shliach check the korban for. So as I said before, that if you adopt the position as the way Tosis quotes the Gemara in Sanhedrin, that when it says that they were burned, they were completely burned, the only thing that Elit Safan and Uziel had was a big day kahuna of Nadav and Avihu. Those big day kahuna were tameh because they were on Nadav and Avihu when they expired. The halacha is, the Rambam writes this, that a hanazir mitamei al tumas begadim. A nazir will not have to be migaleach al tumas begadim. It's not considered what is called tumah chamura. It's not considered a very severe. So when Elitzafan and Uziel carried their garments, there was no excuse, according to Rabbi Yossi Haglili, why they couldn't prepare. Because even if they woke up Erev Yontif, they would still be able to be mitahir themselves. How? Jump into the mikvah, then their status is what's called a tvul yoin, somebody who immersed in the mikvah and is just waiting till sundown to become tahar. Such a person, the halacha is shok did the zorkin alone. You allow a shech to call professor and be zorik the dam. So therefore, this formulation of the Rambam would seem to conform with Rabbi Yitzchak's opinion. That fits in very, very well, and the only time that this would be is if it's Tumah Chamura. Tumah Chamura would be a meis mitzvah, and so on and so forth. Now let's take a look at Rashi. Tmei meis mitzvah. Rashi makes a very good point. Just think, Rabotai, where are Am Yisrael at this time? Where are they? Where are they? They're sitting in a camp. Sitting there. Everybody is pretty much accounted for. Right? They haven't moved any place in 10 months. Suddenly guy dies, nobody to bury him. There's nobody to bury him. Nobody knows who this guy is. There's no relatives. Nobody to bury him. So Rashi is aware of this, and look what Rashi says. Tumei meis mitzvah, lav meis mitzvah dafka. Doesn't really mean meis mitzvah. Why? De afilu meisehen nami meis mitzvah kari lahu. Their own relatives are also meis mitzvah. You have to be kover your relatives. That's a mitzvah. De mitzvah lehis asek kohen. There is a mitzvah to be mitaseik, to engage in burying and so on and so forth. Kigon, like for whom, who amurim the parshas kohanim. For those that are listed in parshat kohanim. At the beginning of parshas emor, sheha kohen mitamei bo. To those relatives, le'aviv, ulimo, right, le'bino, le'bito, le'achoso, le'achiv, le'achoso, and so on. Le'achoso happens to le'achrova elav, loch yitama. So he's allowed to be mitame. So it doesn't really mean meis mitzvah in the classic meis mitzvah sense, in the classic sense, because that is no. There's no chiddush that a meis mitzvah is going to be exempt from korban pesach. There's no chiddush whatsoever to teach us anything about oisik for mitzvah pasam and amitzvah. There's no chiddush. Why not? Because who is allowed to be mitame for a real meis mitzvah? Who? What's the biggest chiddush? Chaim Gadol on Yom Kippur is allowed to be mitame for a meis mitzvah on Yom Kippur. So of course he said, "We're chiddush here that somebody went to be mitame and he went, oh, I'm not going to be able to bring the korban pesach." Of course he could. So Rashi says it's talking about regular krayvim where there is a mitzvah to be misasek with their, and it's for the shiva krayvim. Even though Rashi, I would say Rashi's playing it a little loose with his comparison to Kohanim. Because there's a most unusual halacha, Rabotai. We, Yisraelim, are allowed to be metameh to everybody. But we're obligated to be metameh to no one. All my job is, if a relative of mine passes away, Rahman al-Islam, what's my responsibility? Just to make sure that the kavura is taken care of. I don't have to be mitapel myself. I don't have to be mitame lemeis. There is no such mitzvah. A kohen is not permitted to be mitame to anybody. But for the shiva kraven, a kohen must be mitame himself. He must be mitame himself. Those are the only ones where you have to. So Rashi here is borrowing the halacha that when it says, when Rav Yitzchak says meis mitzvah, he meant the meis mitzvah is all your relatives, and for your relatives, what would you have to do? You'd have to become tameh. I'm saying Rashi's playing it a little loosely because there is no real obligation upon us to be mitameh physically. Only a kohen must be physically mitameh. The Rambam says if a guy doesn't want to, we are mitameh him be'al karcho. We will go over and force him into to the grave and be mahil over the next. He's got no choice. So it's not exactly the way this particular halacha, you know, the way it's formulated. One more Rashi. Says Rashi, Shechol Shvi'i Shalahem. So now, any time you have a relative who died any time within 7 days. And here, Rabbi Yitzchak's case is, because it said, by Yom Ahud, when did this guy die? When did one of the relatives die? Died on the 7th day of Nethem Nisan. So you quickly buried him, you ran to the Kayin, go to the mikveh, tell him, on the 10th day you sprinkle me, the 14th day you sprinkle me, but I'm not going to be able to offer the karma. The Af Agav the Chazul Urta, even though at night, as we just said, at night, I'm technically able to eat the korban, lo ishtiru. He's still not allowed to shech the korban on him. The kasavar ain shochtin v'zorkin al tamei sheret. That you don't even shech the korban on somebody who's tamei for what? Tumas sheret, which is a lower form of tuma than what? Than tumas meis, obviously. Mikol makom shamina minei. Now, nonetheless, here comes Rabbi Yitzchak. Now we have to get back to our Gemara. So what's this got to do with Isaac b'mitzvah patam and amitzvah? Shamin and minei, the Osek b'mitzvah patam and amitzvah. How do I know that this teaches me Isaac b'mitzvah patam and amitzvah? Shaharei nitma'u b'meisehen shivayam l'fnei ha-pesach. They decided to be mitame themselves 7 days before Yantiv. The afal pi shetuma zu te'akev al yadam achilas pischeim, even though they knew that as a consequence of being mitamei mameis, what's going to happen? It will preclude them from eating their korban pesach. Nonetheless, they did so. Alma mitzvah kala haba'a liyadcha, a light, not terribly serious offense, such as the mitzvah of being mitamei lameis, ein chot sorech litchosa, you don't have to push it aside, but ne chamura ha'asido laval. Because of what? Because of the serious mitzvah which is about to come. So here, this is a very funny type of Isaac b'mitzvah patam and amitzvah. Because after he was mitamei himself on the 7th, he's no longer Isaac b'mitzvah anymore. He already did his mitzvah. So why is it that he can't bring a korban pesach? Why is it, not because he's Isaac the mitzvah, why can't he bring a korban pesach? But he's tame. It's a result of it. He's tame. Why is this necessarily considered Isaac the mitzvah? So Rashi in effect tells us, and the Gemara is going to say it in a little second, that it's the next step of Isaac the mitzvah. It's like a kal v'chayim. Meaning, if I know that my activity today is going to preclude me from doing another mitzvah, and nonetheless, what option, what right do I have to do? What right do I have? Do this mitzvah and don't worry about what? A mitzvah which will come about in another week. Kal v'chomer, then b'nai shal kal v'chomer. Then if I'm doing a mitzvah this particular minute, what don't I have to worry about? Not to be another mitzvah. So it's not really that you are osek for mitzvah this second. You are osek for mitzvah on the 7th day of the month of Nisan. But because of that, because you could have anticipated, and the Gemara is suggesting something very unusual. The Gemara is suggesting something. What happens if there was no halakha of osek for mitzvah, patam and amitzvah, based on this logic? What would we have expected? What would be the concept? What would happen? You wouldn't bury it. Very nice. You would not bury the person. And subject the deceased to Nivul HaMeis for 7 days because of a mitzvah that's about to come. I could easily have said, Rabotai, that this is not true. That when does Isaac b'mitzvah patam and amitzvah fly? When it's current. When it's current. But if the mitzvah is not yet coming, who said I should worry about that? Of course, go ahead and bury it, that's it. I'm not worried about 7 days later. It's very unusual that this is now becoming, this is the attack of the Gemara. How can you claim that we learn out by Sikva Mitzvah from Kriya Shema, we learn out from this case? It's not exactly the equivalent, it's not exactly this particular case. And let's see, the Gemara doesn't reject it. The Gemara is just going to say, I need both sources. I need this source, and I need that source, because of two different cases. Two different cases. Let's see what the Gemara says. says the Gemara, Tzricha, about 10 lines from the top. Gemara caves in and says, no, this is a fundamentally acceptable source for Isik B'mitzah, Patam and Amitzah. It's an acceptable source. But I need two sources. Tzricha. De'i Ashmi'inon Hasam. If I only had what? There, that source of Korban Pesah. Then I would have said, there's no such thing as Isik B'mitzah, Patam and Amitzah. Why? Mishum delo mata zman chiyuvah de Pesach. Why do I allow the person to bury him on the 7th? Not because of Isik B'mitzah, Patam and Amitzah, but rather based on what? Because the mitzvah hasn't arrived yet. When is the mitzvah of Shechitas HaPesach? On the 14th. On the 7th, I don't have to take into consideration, here I'm going to be, because so that I will be able to what? To be observing the mitzvah of Korban Pesach. That can't serve as a source. Avol hacha dimata zman kriya shema. But here, amolon. So the Gemara now is using in reverse. When do I say that what is luhas is a sin? When do I say that the exemption applies of basic for mitzvah only when the mitzvah hasn't yet arrived? The Gemara's trying to defend both sources. Why do I need the source of kriya shema? Why was this source enough? Because had I only had this source, I would say, when does Isaac permit the Pathamalah? Only in the future. But if the mitzvah is incumbent upon you currently, then you'd be chayiv to observe both. There's no such thing as Isaac permit the Pathamalah mitzvah. The Iyashmin and Hacha. If I would say that there is Isaac permit the Pathamalah Kriyashma by Kriyashma, Mishum the Lech of Karetz. Avul Hasam. But there, by Korban Pesach, if you fail to shech the Korban Pesach, nothing to do with eating Korban Pesach. If you don't eat a Korban Pesach, there's no punishment whatsoever. You just fail to be the kind mitzvah I say. But if you don't shech the Korban Pesach, that's when there was a chi of kares. Hasam, the ich of kares, aim alone. Maybe under those circumstances, indeed, we should have told you what? Don't bury your remains. Wait till after Yantiv, and then you'll bury the remains. So cholamoed, and that's it. Just sit shiv after Yantiv. Hey, Maloy. Therefore, Tzricha, I need both of these cases. I need both of these cases.
Why does it look like standard Gemara's question of the 7th conflict between the Mesas and the Karmel has to do 7 days in advance? It's still a conclusive disqualification. And even though this man is a technical act of doing the Shechitas that occur 7 days prior, it's conclusive that if you're Mitami this makes now, you are going...
Correct, but not because I was Isaac for this one. So there was an extraneous halacha that Tomei can't share. Let's assume there was no halacha that Tomei can't share. Let's assume there was no such halacha. So I was Isaac for this on the 7th day, now it comes to 14th, I'll do the mitzvah. Where is the incompatibility that because I did a mitzvah on the 7th, happens to be a consequence? The halacha is that you expose yourself to make Tomei for 7 days. Why is that Isaac the mitzvah?
You think also in the Korban Pesach mitzvah? The mitzvah, yes.
Which one?
You still like 7 days earlier?
No, I was Isaac in the mitzvah of this mitzvah.
In other words, you are being, it's a conflict now. You have to look at it in some of this, a conflict now between doing the, being prepared for Korban Pesach now, even though it's 7 days in advance, versus doing the mitzvah of the Mesa mitzvah now. Right now
there's no mitzvah of Korban Pesach.
Yes, there is.
No, there isn't.
Yes, there is. There's a mitzvah to be prepared for Korban Pesach starting 7 days before Korban Pesach.
There is no such mitzvah.
Sure.
It's a mitzvah to shech the Korban Pesach.
That's correct. But you have to also be...
That's a hefsher mitzvah. You have to find yourself in a state of tahara. You have to try to find it. But circumstances came about, what could I do?
Volitional circumstances.
I can't help it.
This is volitional. This is a volitional act between you have a choice of either stay prepared for carbon test up 7 days in the future, or to do another mitzvah.
I don't see this as a basic mitzvah. I think it's the consequence of mitzvah number one.
Just previous other way, the case of doing things in advance of the mitzvah. You went to extraordinary lengths, according to Rav Torah, how to define these three mitzvahs as being, even though they're more, they look a little more preparatory, they're not the actual matzah mitzvah. So you the idea that the exact time frame for performance is not unique, it's not self-defined.
So you're going to say, sitting in your house, making sure they don't come in contact with a mace, that's called oisik v'mitzvah. You're doing nothing. You're sitting in your house, just looking around. No mason around. So that's oisik v'mitzvah? I'm going to start off the week Kriyishma for 7 days? Because I'm being oisik v'mitzvah?
Then you get to the question,
Rashi would have said that? Would Rashi say that a guy from the seventh day of the month, everybody does have to put on tefillin?
No.
Rashi would say.
And then you raise the issues of whether you're doing, what's the level of sikas, et cetera, versus like palace and tefillin case. But I think this is the case where there's a conflict. The issue is there's a conflict being set up.
Okay.
Not the same as the original. The original.
And I don't hear it that way.
I'm just saying that most of the mitzvah and mitzvah is clearly not. It's not exactly the same.
But the Gemara clearly is setting up as it is.
No, the same as they're different. They're learning two different aspects of what we call mitzvah.
Okay.
The Gemara is saying that you're both right.
You have to then say this is a case of oisik v'mitzvah.
Yes,
in fact, what other halacha would you say is really the Gemara touching upon here? What other halacha? Correct. What really is happening here is I have a choice of doing two mitzvahs. If I do mitzvah A today, I can't do mitzvah B 7 days later. So here I have a choice. Should I push aside mitzvah A in order to do mitzvah B 7 days later? Or do we say, A ma'avirin ala mitzvahs? Once there is a mitzvah to do it, then you do it right now, and that's it. Some achronim use this to say that oisik v'mitzvah and ein ma'avirin is the exact same halacha. You know why oisik v'mitzvah is part of the mitzvah? You know why oisik v'mitzvah is part of the mitzvah? Because ein ma'avirin ala mitzvahs. Because you're doing a mitzvah. What do you mean you're going to do another mitzvah right now? What do you mean you do? You have a mitzvah to do. You don't pass up another mitzvah when you're doing one mitzvah. This is really ein ma'avirin ala mitzvahs, and that's why some achronim say that based on the way the Gemara sets it up, and claims that this is a source of oisik v'mitzvah, the principle of ein ma'avirin ala mitzvah is what's really driving oisik v'mitzvah patur min ha-mitzvah. Yeah.
I don't understand that, because for example when it comes to the part of the thing, there's nothing you can do. You are precluded. There is nothing that can happen. If you do the coming day for the second, there's nothing that you can do that can go ahead and help you by the 14th. Just stop. Once you make that decision to bury the minute on the 7th, nothing can help you by the 14th. In other situations, you don't know necessarily what will happen after you do that first mitzvah that may allow you to do the second mitzvah. That comes ahead. You have exactly enough money for dollar tells you. Not quite the dollar tells you. Guy's going to come along and the short knocks on the door in the morning. Okay? What should you do? Should you give him the money? But we know that you have to be in bed from the counseling to go ahead and... But you never know what's going to happen after you.
Mm-hmm.
But here, there's nothing you can do once you bury that. It's not
right.
A question of you know, being last method, because something can potentially help you on the other cases. Nothing can help you in this case. Once you've done that dead person on the seventh day...
Right, but that was my whole point. The consequence of not doing the Korban Pesach is related to the Issur Tumah, which is this byproduct of the fact that you engaged in the burial. It's not really the oisik b'mitzvah, pata min ha-mitzvah.
It doesn't have the mitzvah to put the dead there around them starting from 7 days or 2 days beforehand to preclude you from going ahead.
Yeah? Yeah? Okay. Yeah? Yeah.
When was the first Pesach Sheni? Was it the second year or the first year?
The first year in the Midbar. First year, it was the first Pesach, was the first...
This whole discussion, they didn't know about Pesach Sheni.
Never heard of it. No. They came to, Moshe Rabbeinu didn't know. Imdu ve'eshma by Yisav Hashem Elohim.
So when was that conversation relative to these conversations?
Sometime after he told them that they're going to bring a Korban Pesach this year. So we know that that's somewhere in the middle of Perek Tet. Perek Tet of Sefer Bamidbar is B'Chodesh HaRishon, B'Echad HaChodesh, let's say it's B'nai Yisrael Meretz Mitzrayim. Bamidbar Tes Aleph. It's the only place where the Ramban has to agree a Mukdam Mucha Batar. Only place in all of Chumash. The Ramban says, I never accept it. I don't mean Torah is written out of chronological order. There's one place where he has to. Bamidbar Perek Aleph, the date is given B'Chodesh Hashem in the second month, Chodesh Iyar. Chapter 9, it says B'Chodesh HaRishon. So chapter 9 was communicated a month before. That's the only time where the Ramban is pressed against the wall and he has to acknowledge Ein Mukdum U'Chabatayr. Yeah. Long again, weiter. Gufa. Omar Abba Bar Zavda Omar Rav. The Gemara said previously, Ovel Chayev B'chol Mitzvah So Amuris B'Toira. An Ovel is obligated to observe all mitzvahs of the Torah. Chutz Mitfilin Shaharei Ne'emar Bahen Pe'er. Tfilin, which are described as pe'er, and midda omalei rachman ali yecheskel pe'ercha chavusholecha. Your pe'er, your splendor, your glory is found upon your head. Drash, at hu de mechayvus. You yecheskel are obligated to keep your tfilin on. Avo kuli alma p'tiri. But everybody else is exempt from tfilin on the first day. But it's only tefillin. All other mitzvot, an avel is obligated to observe. And the tour of Isaac b'mitzvah, patur min ha-mitzvah, has no application to avelus, only to aninus. V'hani mili b'yom rishon. This exemption of an avel for tefillin is, as we all know, is limited only to the first day of avelus. Dechsiv v'achrisa kiyomar. How do we learn out from that pasuk? That's how the drash works in that pasuk. Only the first day. Okay, fine. Very nice. Now,
we're saying the first day of
Oh. Now comes the Machloikas HaRishon. There are those Rishon who interpret this Gemara that the first day of an Avel being exempt from Tefillin is only if the Yom Avelus and the Yom HaKvura, which means the day of Aninus, is the same day. So if a person dies early in the morning and he's buried that day, now Tefillin is the whole day. That first day he's exempt. However, if the person died yesterday and he's being buried today, in which the Yom HaKvura and the first day of Avelos is not the same day, many Rishonim say that the Halach of Yecheskel does not apply and that an Avel is Chayiv.
What's the first day of Avelos
for that? Right?
What's the first day of Avelos for
that? No, it's saying it's always the first day of Avelos, but it's not the same. The first day of Avelos is not necessarily Yom HaKvura. Some Rishonim believe that in order for an Avel to be exempt from Tefillin the first day, it has to be the first day of Avelus on the day of the Tefura. On the day of the Misa, rather. The day of the Misa. So somebody died this morning, buried at 10 o'clock in the morning, so now his first day of Avelus is the same day as the death. But if somebody died today, and the burial will be tomorrow, so the Yom HaMis is today, tomorrow's the first day of Avelus, he'll be Chayav and Tefillin after the Leviah. After the Leviah, after the Furi, should come over and put on Tefillin. Many Rishonim say that. We Paskin, most communities Paskin, that it's all this. In many Eretz Yisrael, don't follow those Rishonim. That if it's the Yom HaMis and the first day of Avelus are not the same day, they put on Tefillin. They put on Tefillin. But we paskin that Avel Yom Rishon is always exempt from Tefillin, no matter whether or not the first day of Avelus is the Yom HaMisa or not. And Avel does not wear Tefillin the first day of Avelus. Tlof, that's machlokes number one. Machlokes number two is a machlokes rishonim concerning Tisha B'Av. There is a our halakha is a compromise. There is no rishon who says al pidin you should what? You should wear tefillin at mincha time and don't wear tefillin in the morning. The machlokes is whether you wear tefillin on Tisha B'Av or you don't wear tefillin on Tisha B'Av. What's the machlokes? Which day of Shiva is Tisha B'Av compared to? Is Tisha B'Av compared to what? To a regular day of Shiva? Well, an Avel wears, for 6 days, he wears tefillin. So Tisha B'Av, you would wear tefillin as well. And other Rishayim say that no, that Tisha B'Av is compared to the first day of Shiva. The first day of Shiva, an Avel does not wear tefillin, so therefore, we don't wear tefillin on Tisha B'Av. One of our many compromises amongst Halacha Rishayim is, okay, we're not going to put on tefillin in the morning when we say, after Mincha we'll put on tefillin. There's a pshara amongst those Rishayim. Yeah. So, well, the pshara.
Sure, we still say bracha, which is interesting.
100%. No doubt. There are many times when we do psharas, we make a bracha. The worst, the most exaggerated case is putting up a mezuzah. We're not in the kind of mitzvah going to anybody, putting it like this. The Rambam says it has to be like this. The Rabbi Natan says it has to be like this. So, the way the Rambam reads is, we made a pshara, do it this way. And that's yoitzer the mitzvah going to anybody. And we make a bracha and you put up a mezuzah. It's like freedom. It's like freedom.
Someone couldn't put on tefillin and actually on Tisha B'Av. It was not impossible.
It would
be able to put it on the morning with the
bracha.
No.
According to our pshara, I don't know. It's a good question. Somebody, for some reason, I could hear pshara that he should put on. Because later on, we are saying that Tisha B'Av is a yom when you put on tefillin. Because otherwise you wouldn't be wearing it all day. As an accommodation, we don't put it on in the morning. I would, without looking into it, I would say yes. You're right.
I think they don't put it on Tisha B'Av.
Every single time, see where they wear the mincha.
But in the bush, I think off Tisha B'Av.
And they don't wear tefillin at all on Tisha B'Av? Could be. I don't know. I don't remember. I was never in deal in the summertime, so I don't remember.
Yeah. There is. One sheet that you put on film without a bracha.
Yeah, that's again a compromise. Whether or not Chol HaMoed requires, that's correct. That's a compromise sheet.
Right, so that's why I'm surprised you actually make the bracha. Why is the compromise includes the bracha? Because if not, not even if it's a bracha without.
No, because there are so many Rishonim who said it's Yechayiv, so we do it. That's all. Me'ikar Adin, we're paskening that Yechayiv film. But it's just, we don't want to get the other guys angry, so we'll put it on in the afternoon. By that time, everyone's half asleep. That's all, nobody knows. Good. Okay, Rabotai, we'll stop here, and the Gemara continues about Mitzdayer Potem in Asukah and its application to Avelos. Sort of